Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, a colleague at MRM. In recent weeks, especially, a lot of Mormons have been talking about this Mormon moment that is going on right now. In other words, what that really means is that the Mormon Church and members of the LDS Church, some, are getting a lot of public attention, media attention, and Mormons are looking at this as an opportunity to be able to showcase their religion. In this situation, if you will, there are a lot of accusations that the Mormons feel have been leveled against them unfairly, and so this is their moment, they think, to give a response to this. One of the issues that keeps coming up over and over again, almost as if it's a talking point that's been spread around some of these spokesmen for the LDS Church, is responding to the charge of the Mormon Church being a cult, C-U-L-T. Now, no doubt this word has been in the Christian vocabulary for many, many years. It's nothing new, but certainly, as can be understood, it's a negative term that's supposed to signify that something is out of the norm, and Mormons naturally take offense when they are labeled in such a way. So we're going to talk about that word today because we know this is a sensitive, topic, especially with Latter-day Saints, and it's not something that's new, as I said, and I don't think it's really something that's going to go away. But first of all, Eric, why don't we talk about what does the word cult actually mean? How has it been defined?
Well, Bill, it comes from the Latin word cultus, and it's just a general word that just means worship of a god. That's where it comes from. But I think in the 20th century, it's come more to refer to religious groups. Usually, they're considering themselves to be Christian, especially in the United States. And it varies in a great way from Christianity. And so this book I have in my hand here, Alan W. Gomes, who has written a book called Unmasking the Cults. Now, he's a professor of theology over at Biola University in California, a well-established university, has a degree from Fuller Theological Seminary. And in his book, this is what he wrote for his definition. He says, a cult of Christianity is a group of people which, claiming to be Christian, embraces a particular doctrinal system taught by an individual leader, group of leaders, or organization, which denies one or more of the central doctrines of the Christian faith as taught by the 66 books of the Bible. Now, he lists some of the central doctrines that he says are the doctrines being denied, include the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection, the atoning work of Christ on the cross, and salvation by grace through faith. And he writes this, these doctrines so comprise the essence of the Christian faith that to remove any of them is to make the belief system non-Christian. Bill, what do you think with our definition? Does that go along?
I think what Dr. Gomes has said sounds very close to the definition that we've often given over the years at MRM, that basically a group that be classified as a cult is a group that claims to be Christian while at the same time either denies or distorts the basic teachings of the Christian faith. And certainly when we go through this very important list that is here, we find that these issues are issues that we as Christians cannot compromise and will not compromise, should not compromise. And if the Mormon Church insists on holding to beliefs that certainly conflict with these basic tenets of the Christian faith, then it should expect us not to back off of our principles or positions, as we don't expect them to back off their principles or anything. But if that's the way it is, then that's the way it is. But I noticed something in that definition, Eric. There's really nothing in this definition that speaks of, and you've read the whole book, I haven't, but there are certainly, as you said, different aspects of this word. And for instance, we had not too long ago, David Koresh, the group down in Waco. Now, certainly this was labeled as a cult. It was a very authoritarian cult. It was a dangerous cult. I mean this thing was physically dangerous for its members, and ultimately ended up in the death of many of its own members. We have also Jim Jones and the Guyana tragedy, you know, years ago, another dangerous group that you know had physical problems. Now, some might argue that the Mormon Church can certainly cause a lot of mental anguish for the way it sometimes treats its people, and there are plenty of people out there that can testify to this. Many ex-Mormons I've talked to many of
them. We've heard many stories, yes.
Many stories. We're not saying that that's the definition that would be applied to the LDS Church, but what Dr. Gomes is talking about are theological areas that certainly would classify the Mormon Church in this area. That's all it is. We have a disagreement on theology. And I think we need to get this across that if that word is to be used, and we have often said, that's not a word that we like to use a lot. I think it should be more descriptive rather than accusatory.
Right.
I would certainly never go up to a Latter-day Saint and just say, oh, you're a cultist. I mean, that would certainly not allow for a very good conversation, and I should not be surprised if a Mormon would not want to talk to me if I acted like that, probably any more than they should expect me to want to talk to them after they come up and say, oh, you're a part of the great apostasy.
Yeah, there's good tactics, and that's not a good tactic.
But if that's what they want to believe about us, I have no problem with that. You know, I don't lose sleep at night knowing that my Latter-day Saint acquaintances or neighbors think that I'm a part of the great apostasy. I just don't. But I find it odd that the Mormons tend to really wring their hands over this notion that we in evangelical Christianity don't embrace them as a part of the Christian faith. They really get upset about that.
Bill, some people would say, even within the Christian church, that this word shouldn't be used anymore. But Alan Gomes says, no, it should be retained. I want to tell you why. Let me read this. He says, it has an established history of usage long before the secular media or social sciences got a hold of it. And he said it's well suited to describe theological heterodoxy, which is determined by an absolute, objective, and unchanging standard. So while it's become a pejorative word, as you said, Bill, it's a descriptive word. It's something that can help us to explain, especially when it comes to the theological issues. And he even says not to use it to poke fun or be mean-spirited, but when it's applied objectively, it can be exceedingly helpful because the purpose here is objective classification. Of course, some or even many cults have unsavory aspects about them, but that must be determined on a case-by-case basis.
You know, we should bring out that Mormon leaders have also used this word to describe people that they disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you have Mark E. Peterson, who was a Mormon apostle, when referring to the role of LDS leaders in the lives of LDS members. Mark E. Peterson, speaking at General Conference, no less, said, speaking of these leaders, that they will protect you from the false teachings of cultists and splinter groups and from the misleading philosophies of men. Then we have Bruce McConkie.
Well, before you go, like he splits that off, cultists and splinter groups and philosophies of men.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that, you know, maybe he was referring to the splinter groups particularly, but when I look at that again, it looks like that might be separated there.
Well, he talks about the philosophies of men. Isn't that exactly what the Mormon church leaders in the past especially have accused us as Bible-believing Christians of holding to? The philosophies of men, the teachings of men.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go on and give this quote by Bruce McConkie, who uses this word a number of times
mm-hmm.
in his writings. He said, only when the church is fed the bread of life are its members kept in paths of righteousness. It is the spiritually illiterate who become cultists and who forsake the faith. In another place, he even likened those who hold to the Trinity and the Athanasian Creed as belonging to such a group. And this is what he said. A false Christ is not a person. It is a false system of worship, a false church, a false cult that says, lo, here is salvation, here is the doctrine of Christ, come and believe thus and so, and you shall be saved. It is any concept or philosophy that says that redemption, salvation, sanctification, justification, and all the promised rewards can be gained in any way except that set forth by the apostles and prophets. We hear the voice of false Christ when we hear the Athanasian Creed proclaim that whosoever will be saved must believe that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are incomprehensible and uncreated, that they form a trinity of equals who are not three gods but one God, and not one God but three gods, and that unless we so believe, we cannot be saved and shall perish everlastingly.
Bill, he gets it wrong.
I heard you snicker there, Eric, and both of us have noticed many times whenever Bruce McConkie talked about the Trinity, he doesn't seem to get it right.
No,
whenever he talks about the Christian Godhead, he seems to merely invoke a lot of the sad stereotypes that we've heard lay members express. The point we're trying to make, folks, is that this word has its purpose in our vocabulary. It's a flame word, no doubt.
If used wrongly.
If used incorrectly, mm-hmm. it certainly can be used to upset people, and certainly we don't need to do that. The gospel itself has a tendency of upsetting people enough. But we do say that if this word, though it's important, it should be used cautiously. And as I said before, it should be used in a descriptive and not an accusatory manner.
Bill, when it came to the description that you earlier gave, I was thinking, you know, with all the different doctrines, the Trinity, salvation by grace through faith, the authority of the Bible, etc., it's not just one doctrine that these cults will deny. I'm thinking of Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses. You go down the line, it's not just one, because it's a domino effect.
Yes.
You get rid of the Godhead, and it just moves right into the next one, into the next one, until you really have heresy.
Well, you know what's interesting about what McConkie says, where he talks about these people that say, lo, here is salvation, here is the doctrine of Christ. Isn't that exactly what the Mormon Church is doing?
Right.
I mean, the Mormon Church claims that it alone represents true Christianity, that it alone has spokesmen that speak on behalf of God, and that they cannot be challenged. You are not to challenge the living prophet.
If you do,
you run the risk of being disciplined and mm-hmm. disfellowshipped and or even excommunicated. And we know personally people that have faced that merely
sure.
because they voiced their objection publicly and said things against the Mormon leadership and the church at large. So that's basically what the word cult really means. It's been used by the Mormons as well. It's not something that we say to use often, but it is a word that needs to be used.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864.